Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, a very special show. Matt Long has to run down.
Today we have the 7th annual Teen Edition, where we've gathered the best and brightest from around the state.
And it's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The resort at Red Hawk. The Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure. And the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Attention computer shoppers with past credit problems. If you've had past credit problems and want to make a change, call now. All you need is an active checking account and you're approved for our program. Bankruptcy, liens, divorce, or job loss, it doesn't matter. You're approved. We'll get you that new computer you always wanted and report on your credit so you can start to get it back on track. Call now and with your paid order, we'll add a free color printer, free MP3 music player, and a free LCD TV. You heard right. Free printer, free MP3 player, and a free LCD TV. Call now and tell us where you want your brand new computer and free gift shipped today.
The 7th annual Nevada Newsmakers Teen Edition is brought to you by the Retail Association of Nevada, the Nevada Motor Transport Association, the Associated Builders and Contractors of Nevada, the Nevada State Education Association, the Nevada State Medical Association, and the El Dorado Hotel and Casino in Reno. Is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we kick off our 7th annual teen edition of Nevada Newsmakers. Pleasure to have you guys here. We're going to have three pundit panels today. Our guests are Landon Miller. He goes to Wooster High School in Reno. We have Jordan Luttrell Freeman, who goes to Cimarron Memorial High School in Las Vegas. And Lindsay Forbes goes to Robert McQueen High School here in Northern Nevada. Let's start out, first of all, with your thoughts on the fiscal crisis that the state finds itself in. The governor's saying no new taxes, no new fees. The majority leader, Stephen Horsford, saying he looks like he's going to look at $1.5 billion in cuts and $1.5 billion in increases. Your thoughts?
Well, when we look at the, you know, severe economic crisis or crises that we're seeing all over, I think what it's really important to look down is where the funding is going. And I've interviewed, you know, I've interviewed Sandoval and Rory Reed about their standpoint on some things. And with Sandoval, I was a little bit more concerned more about where he was directing his funding. And when you go into education, that's what I'm trying to make myself here, is that he's not focusing enough money, not spending enough money on education. And education really is one of those little foundations that we need to build a better, you know, society. Not a better society, but you get people more educated, you get more jobs, and I think that's where the money really has to be more focused on.
Well, I'd have to say that what he's saying is right, and that with Brian Sandoval, with the no new taxes kind of thing, which, and we learned from the former President George H.W. Bush that no new taxes generally doesn't end well, and we also learned that from Governor Gibbons. But I think what Brian Sandoval can do to try to kind of recoup his losses, because at this point, even we have Senator Raggio saying that it's going to need to be a combination of both tax increases, maybe kind of broadening the sales tax, and both budget cuts, maybe some of the pork projects that maybe we can do without or do with until the next legislative session when we're maybe out of this. But when it comes to education, I have to say that when it comes to like the Nevada has a pretty much a libertarian kind of viewpoint on things like education, and when it comes to this, and a lot of it is when you come and you see students like those of us at the table and some of our classmates and AP students, even though we're doing with this education funding that you see some states getting, we're doing fine, and I think that a lot of it is an attitude thing, and you basically get what you make out of it.
Do you think that education is one of the main staples of it would be more funding would yield better results, or do you think that it would be something else, some other factor?
You know, I think a lot of it is based on the educators and teachers we have. You can make great things out of nothing. And it's just about cutting the unnecessary programs, all the excess testing that we don't need to be doing. And it's based on the funding and how you use it, not more funding.
Can I add something onto that real quick?
Sure.
One of Brian Sandoval's new education policies is that he wants to reward schools based on, you know, how well they perform. So they want to grade schools essentially on an A to F scale, just how students are graded. But he wants to reward schools on how well they are doing. So the A's and the passing schools will get more funding, whereas the schools that are failing or, you know, are in need of improvement don't get that extra funding, where the ones who are already achieving get. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Well, even though I'm kind of a Republican and it's kind of a conservative mantra to have this merit pay idea, I have to say when it comes to schools and when it comes to teaching, that merit pay is definitely a bad idea because you do not have a standard from which to say. Like if you have a school that basically has kids from like AP classes and you have a higher percentage in AP classes, you're definitely going to get a higher grade for that. And it's based on each student's kind of basically their sovereign will on what to do when they have this opportunity. So I don't think that it's fair to reward or punish a school based on a student's choice and the student's will.
Well, and like working with the steering committee at my school, there are tons of variables that go into pass rates, graduation rates, different testing, and I just think it's impossible to keep rewarding the schools who are doing well, because then the other schools get left behind.
All right, I wanted to just, we've got about a minute left here, just go around the table and start with you. You watched the Harry Reid-Sharon Angle race. It was the number one Senate race in the country. What were your thoughts on that? Were you turned off near the end because of all the negative advertising?
Actually, well, the negative advertising, I think it's almost in a kind of necessary. We used to live in a kind of an age or maybe in where we had the kind of Jeffersonian trust in the kind of people to do their own research. And even though I think it's important that everyone gets out to do their own research, attack ads sometimes form a necessary function. And I think a lot of it with, especially with, you had a lot of Sharon Angle who had attack ads, even though it kind of pointed out, because it's kind of a double-edged sword, it pointed some of the flaws in Harry Reid's stance, or what people would perceive as flaws in Harry Reid's stance. It more put Sharon Angle in a negative light because of her willingness to kind of pounce on the pounce.
So then would there be any actual benefit from a negative ad campaign? Because if you're saying that it did more harm than good because it was the double-edged sword, would there any be like end game?
Well, if we look, we saw that Brian Sandoval's numbers jumped when he started doing, he was ahead pretty much the whole race because, let's face it, the Nevadans weren't going to put two Reids in office. They started to even jump further because of his kind of showing Roy Reid's county commission record. So I think there is, you just kind of sometimes have to balance out what you want to say, and you have to kind of take that and you have to put it in almost this light that's negative, but you can't go too far over the line, as we saw in the Angle
case.
Okay,
I want to very quick, your quick thoughts on this, about 10 seconds.
I think that positive ads are always more effective than negative, and I think the mudslinging, it's a waste of money and it's a waste of our own time.
You get the last word.
I think when it comes down to it, negative campaign ads really distracts the voters from what is really necessary, and that's the issues.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you all very much. That was a great
time. Thank you. Pleasure being
here. We'll be right back on About a Newsmakers after this timeout.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
I have urgent news. If you have good credit now and a good credit history, you can qualify for a low fixed rate 30-year refinance loan from Mortgage in 15 minutes.
They turned my good credit into a great rate. Thank you, Mortgage in 15 Minutes.
They came through, like they said, in less than 15 minutes.
This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Call us now for your low fixed-rate loan.
Call 1-800-604-1585.
It will be a short outing for this young right-hander as the manager heads to the mound. Never seen anything like this.
There's an easier way inside local sports. Las Vegas Review-Journal. Get inside.
The 7th Annual Nevada Newsmakers Teen Edition is brought to you by the Retail Association of Nevada, the Nevada Motor Transport Association, the Associated Builders and Contractors of Nevada, the Nevada State Education Association, the Nevada State Medical Association, and the El Dorado Hotel and Casino in Reno. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers' 7th Annual Teen Edition, we welcome to the pundit panel Nathaniel Haas. He is with Reno High School. Pleasure to have you on the program, sir. Kendall Lynch is with Coronado High School down in Southern Nevada. And we also have Kimberly Horsford with Spanish Springs High School. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, guys. So there's been a lot of talk about how education is obviously the most important thing for the state to get a handle on, because we're 49th. What are your guys' thoughts as to where we need to go and what direction we need to start taking?
I think the biggest problem is throwing money at the problem. I think there are two things that really need to be changed with the way our education system works. The first is what's called senioritis, and that we pay, it's the only sector in America that pays people more and promotes people more 100% of the time based on how long they've been working there. And that doesn't happen anywhere else. And it's a waste of money, and it really hurts us, especially in the recession, when we have these younger teachers that are potentially better than the older teachers getting fired simply because they haven't been working as long as the older teachers. And it's a real drain on the money source for education.
But how are you going to deal with the teachers union?
Excuse me?
How are you going to deal with the teachers union? Because they're not going to like that.
Well, of course not, but that's another problem. You know, we have to deal with how we're going to interact with the unions. Michelle Rhee, who's over in D.C., who just resigned, has been having a huge problem with the American Federation of Teachers and still says we just have to get past these unions. We have to make them see that we need good teachers, and sometimes the best teachers are not the oldest teachers.
Your thoughts?
Oh, I definitely agree. I think that administrators need to do more evaluation with teachers instead of just sitting in a classroom for 5 minutes a semester to actually understand how the classroom is run and what is being done. I definitely feel that not necessarily the oldest teacher is the best, because you have teachers that have been only teaching for 1 year that are amazing, and some of the older teachers that pretty much just want money, so they don't really care about their students anymore. But for, as far as the unions go, I think we need to make an agreement and not necessarily fire all the younger teachers, but like actually talk to them and have them also like look at the evaluations to figure out who is the best.
You know, with the state budget for education, K-12 and higher ed being more than 50% of the state's budget, and looking at the budget concerns we have, do you have concerns about your future, about your ability to go to college?
Definitely, because I mean, you can always, I mean, everything needs money. I mean, you can throw money at education, throw money at, you know, gaining tourism and everything. So I definitely am worried about it, because I think it's time to start focusing more on quality rather than quantity. So
do you feel as if the current system is actually stagnating and actually making it less likely that we'll have new teachers come into the education system and thus hurting ourselves more?
Well, it's definitely difficult. I mean, teachers are having a hard time obtaining jobs here in Nevada and are often losing jobs, so that's definitely a problem.
Kendall, I wanted to raise the issue with you of texting. This phenomenon that's grown over the last 5 or 6 years, do you have concerns about this?
I have major concerns with texting, especially while driving. It's not just teenagers, but it is mainly teenagers that think that they're unstoppable and that nothing will hurt them, so they would rather look at a text message than watch the road. They think that it won't be there in 5 minutes when you're able to pull over and stop, or when you reach your final destination. And I think we definitely need to put laws in place to stop texting while driving, but also just cell phone usage while you're driving.
So then should we adopt a more system such as California, where you're not allowed to call or be on the phone when you're driving, or such as Washington, where you're not allowed to text? Should we mimic those states, or should we come up with a different type of law that would be more encompassing of all aspects of cell phone usage?
No, I think the problem is that's the only thing you really can do. I mean, you make it illegal to drink while driving, and yet people still do it. I mean, it's one of those things where you just have to hope that making it illegal or illegal to text while driving is going to fix the problem.
Absolutely. You know, they do say, like he was saying, that texting and driving is equivalent to drinking for, you know, like four drinks of alcohol. And if it's not legal to do that, then it shouldn't be legal to text and drive as well.
Well, what type of punishment should we then implement in this situation? Because, I mean, in some states it's just a small fine, but if it's as dangerous as you're saying, as far as like drinking and driving, should it be much higher up, like, such as like a DUI, only TUI, texting?
Well, I mean, they got to get people to realize this is something that kills people. I mean, people die because they're hit by drivers that are texting while they're driving. And so, I mean, it's got to be a punishment that is going to keep people from texting while they're driving. It can't just be a slap on the wrist. I mean,
why do you think there's this sense of urgency? And we all have it. I mean, we all live with our phones. Mm-hmm. Why do you think this has come about?
I think people want to be talking to other people, and they want to feel like they're wanted. So whenever you hear your phone go off, you think, oh, somebody like wants to talk to me, like I'm loved. So they just automatically assume or automatically reach for their phone, even if it's not necessarily like how they're thinking at the moment. I think it's just that inner feeling that everybody has to be wanted and talked to.
Kimberly, you get the last word.
And texting is definitely how kids are, you know, connected to the world these days. I mean, they're connected to their friends, you know, and, you know, no one wants to be put in a position where they feel like their friend's going to be mad at them because they didn't text them back on time or anything like that. And it's definitely urgent and it's definitely dangerous. And I think action needs to be taken.
All right. And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you all for a thoughtful discussion. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for football. Watch your favorite pro and college games in Sully Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction on over 25 giant TVs. Enjoy all-you-can-eat tailgate buffets Monday night and Thursday game nights. Enjoy Sunday breakfast buffets and build your own omelet. Create your own Bloody Marys and Bloody Beers. Join the Conductors Club and earn free play and comp dollars on the latest slots and video poker. The Tamarack Junction, where locals meet in South Reno, north of the Summit on South Virginia. Yeah.
On the next Face to Face, it is tough being a child or parent these days, especially when your child is the victim of bullying. What can you do? We'll talk with students behind the group Body Rocks, an organization that promotes positive body image. Next Face.
Tired of fussing with giant pasta pot strainers, stirring, and testing just for a plate of pasta?
Hi, Kathy Mitchell here with Pasta Boat, the amazing new 5-in-1 pasta cooker that serves perfect pasta without the hassle. Just put in the pasta, add water to the serving line, and pop it in the microwave. When finished, place on the strainer lid, drain out the water, and you're ready to serve. Pasta Boat uses the microwave to instantly heat and keep the water at the perfect cooking temperature. These portion handles even help you measure the spaghetti. Add this handy steam rack and enjoy the tenderest baked potatoes or healthy vegetables.
Your Pasta Boat order includes the strainer lid, measuring handles, a steamer rack, even a fast and easy recipe book for just $10. But wait, call now and we'll double your order. And that's not all. We'll send you this amazing food chopper. Just pay separate processing and handling. You get it all, a whopping $50 value for just $10. Call now.
Call 1-800-894-2721. But call now. We're giving away a bonus pasta boat and chopper with all of today's orders. So call 1-800-894-2721. Call now.
Did you know every cigarette contains over 4,000 chemicals and toxins that can cause cancer? Let's clear the air for the planet and your body. Make a smart choice. Don't smoke.
The 7th Annual Nevada Newsmakers Teen Edition is brought to you by the Retail Association of Nevada, the Nevada Motor Transport Association, the Associated Builders and Contractors of Nevada, the Nevada State Education Association, the Nevada State Medical Association, and the El Dorado Hotel and Casino in Reno. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our seventh annual teen edition of Nevada Newsmakers with Zachary Boyden. He goes to Earl Wooster High School in Northern Nevada. We have Elle Ford with Cheyenne High School in Southern Nevada, and Wyatt Winsler, who goes to Bishop Minogue High School. Pleasure to have you all here.
Thank you.
Alrighty, guys. So, as you know, we just had one of the most grueling midterm elections, and of course, we, as Nevadans, had the honor of having the biggest election in the entire country. And one of the things that happened out of the 2008 presidential election was that teens came out and voted in droves like they hadn't done before. However, we didn't see that come out in the midterms. Do you think that this is a problem? And how exactly would you guys, as teenagers, see to change it from your perspective?
Voting, yeah. Teens do not vote a lot. I think the reason they came out and voted during 2008 was Barack Obama. He was a young guy, and people could get behind him easily, as opposed to John McCain, who people kind of saw as a crusty old guy, no offense to him. But when they came around to this one, for Harry Reid and Sharon Angle, I think people like me looked at them. Honestly, a lot of the kids in my school kind of felt, wow, I want neither of these people to win. And
why?
Harry Reid, we didn't like him. He just didn't do things that were good. And then Sharon Angle, we all kind of thought was a little too extreme for a lot of us. Like, Harry Reid kind of had that spot on, but we didn't like Harry Reid either. We just didn't feel that like either candidate was suitable for the job.
Yeah. Carol, your thoughts?
I think with the presidential election, a lot of the minorities, they could relate to Barack Obama, and they backed him up because he had that, you know, he was in that category as a lot of them. And with our Nevadan one, like what he said, they wanted Harry Reid out because a lot of people that I talked to, they said that they want something new, and he'd been in there for a while, and so they didn't like him. And Sharon Angle was a pretty extreme person, so they just couldn't relate to either one of them as well as they did with Barack Obama.
What do you think would be the solution then, though, would be for the future for midterm elections and other presidential elections to bring out the youth vote and get them more energized?
Well, I noticed that a lot of Obama's success with the younger voters, it came from like the new ideas, but a lot of it was his online efforts to get voters out. That's where the teen interest is focused, online. And so he had so many informational things online that you could learn about and that you could go on and become participating in it. And I think that that's why he got so many younger voters too.
So using the internet as a news outsource has been used for almost every single campaign since the internet came out. However, do you think that President Obama did anything spectacular in reaching out to them in specific, maybe a social media site?
Well, yeah, there were groups on Facebook. It was so well organized, you know, that they had done that some people knew about him and what he wanted to do, and they had, you know, through Facebook and Twitter, and he was always tweeting, you know, and I think that he just related to the younger generation.
One of the things that's been talked about in this state is that we're going to be the Saudi Arabia of alternative energy. Your thoughts on that and the reality of it?
I think alternative energy is a great way to bring some income into this state. Unfortunately, since 85% of the land is owned by the federal government, so we can't get any profit from that land unless we have it back. And I think the best thing would be is to step A, we get some land back and sell it to alternative energy companies, and then we get the income from that, and we can eventually come in full circle and become the alternative energy center of the United States.
Your thoughts, Al?
I think it would provide more jobs, as he said, and so that would help the economy, and it would help the environment, because we would be using different sources rather than just burning oil and regular.
Should the government be the ones that are funding this rather than independent companies? I mean, you saw that this electrical line that's going to go between Northern and Southern Nevada, the loans are being guaranteed by the federal government.
I feel that the alternative energy companies should be privately owned and privately funded. I think that it's more effective when there's a private company doing the regulations and they're actually directly involved with how the companies run. And I think that it's more specialized to, you know, whatever type of alternative energy, and I think that there shouldn't be big federal funding to these companies.
However, without the big federal funding, and of course, as was just brought up, the BLM owning about 85% of, or managing 85% of Nevada, isn't it necessary for the federal government to have a role in this issue? And what role should it be then if we're not going to have them step in and grant loans? Because loans would help bring people into the state to open up these projects, because they are extremely risky projects and expensive. What would be the reason for doing it if not for the federal assistance?
I think they could provide us with like security, as if they're privately owned companies, if they happen to not succeed as well as they need to, federal government should step in and support them.
I think that kind of, I don't agree. I don't think the government should step in if it's a private company. We either make it one or the other. If we're going to go through with alternative energy, it should be funded by the federal government, or we let a private company go ahead and do it. Because I don't think we should just try to find a balance, because that will just screw everything up and make for a lack of profit.
Why do you feel it would screw it up?
Because, well, we have the bailouts. We had the bailouts a couple years ago. And so essentially, instead of when the companies went bankrupt and they lost all their jobs, it was kind of their own fault, it seemed, because they'd put too much money in one stock or one idea that eventually failed. And so I think we should make them more responsible for their failure rather than make the government responsible for businesses' failures.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you all very much. We appreciate it. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
You already know about Tahoe Burger's delicious everyday menu with burgers, fries, chicken, and all your favorites. But now you can enjoy a special home-style meal every day of the week. That's right. Tahoe Burger is now serving daily specials that include fresh-baked lasagna, special recipe meatloaf, and crispy fried chicken. Or maybe you're in the mood for fish and chips or a turkey dinner with all the fixings. We even have Mama's Own spaghetti and buffalo wings. At Tahoe Burger, enjoy something special every day. Open 6 a.m. to midnight every day at Rob Drive and I-80.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, call now for a new pain-free meter. These new meters are more accurate, they're easier to use, and the best news is you don't have to prick your fingers anymore. Call now, and Arriva Medical will send you one of these new meters for free. And if you have Medicare, your testing supplies may also be covered. Arriva makes it simple. They bill Medicare directly. There are no upfront costs. And they deliver your supplies right to your door for free. With these new meters, there's no coding, you don't have to prick your fingers, and some of these meters even talk.
Your blood glucose reading is 122.
And if you call 1-800-764-1812, we will send you a free Betty Crocker Diabetes Cookbook filled with delicious recipes.
Call Arriva today. You'd be glad you did.
Getting the best in local news anytime, anywhere is now as easy as this. The News 4 iPhone app. You can get up-to-the-minute headlines, check the weather, watch featured stories, or even pull newscasts. Just another way News 4 is dedicated to getting you the information you want to know. Just search KRNV in the App Store. Don't have an iPhone? Check out My News 4 Mobile.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Coming up next week, we have some great guests such as Chris Ault, Joe Becker, and Assemblyman David Bobzian.
We'll see you then.